Ask for an interest in your prayers tonight. I want to just say that, you know, we live on the West Coast, so we're not around all of you a lot of times. A lot of you are closer to each other. And so we don't maybe know you as well or have as close to relationships as you might have with each other. But the love that we feel for each and every one of you is something that God has put in our heart. And I want you all to know how much all of us love you and appreciate that we can gather together like this, and we fought a lot of the same battles. Brother Philip talked about prayer requests going forward, and Sister Darlene was singing that song. I had to think about when we were praying for her, and that was one of those healings that Brother Philip was talking about. One of God's children. And I thought a little bit of that in contrast with the mighty men of our day, the billionaires of our day that people would flock to listen to and gain some nugget of wisdom, how they made their money, how they view things, and have a great following. I wouldn't trade sitting in that seat listening to our sisters and our brothers sing it as well with my soul than I would for all the wisdom of this world. I ask again for an interest in your prayers. The Lord would help us to deliver the burden that's on our heart. And I'm going to ask you tonight, what do you believe in? What do you believe in? It's a very critical question for the trajectory of your life. What do you believe in? What we believe and what the foundation of what we have confidence in and the convictions that we have in our mind, and I'm not just talking about spiritual conviction. I mean, what we believe in and what we think guides our steps. Even in simple decisions in life, things that are maybe mundane and don't mean much, if we believe that the freeway is faster than the side roads, that's the route that we're going to take if we're trying to get somewhere quickly. The Lord has given us that ability to make that reasoning. And you can tell me all that you want that the side roads are faster, but I'm not going to believe you, and I'm not going to change the way that I drive. Maybe I'll try it one time, I don't know, but most likely you'll have a hard time convincing me. Plus my smart Apple Maps, you know, tells me that's the best way also. So I also have learned to trust that it's correct, because when I follow it, I usually get there pretty quick. My point is that what we believe tonight, whether we acknowledge it, whether we really take it out and look at it, is what's going to guide our decisions and our choices in life. And it is good for us to take a moment and to measure what we do believe in and where our allegiance and where our convictions lie and where our direction is headed. I was raised in a Christian home and taught all my life. I had that privilege to hear lots of instruction, lots of preaching. Uncle Chuck was my pastor for all of my younger years, and my father was my pastor for a lot of my later years. But there comes a time in all of our life where it becomes more about just what we know, but what you really believe. Because we can follow mom and dad, and we can follow even church teachings all the way even into older years, and just doing what we've always done and what other people have always told us we should do. But there has to come a point where we begin to believe, where in our heart our conviction is set towards that we're convinced that we have discovered that there's something beyond just making a choice because it's an intellectual choice, or even that we can take reasoning and say, well, this seems to be the best way because I see the least amount of heartache. But there's something deeper than that that God wants to put in our heart that is really the beginning of our relationship with Him. And our faith in God is critical and paramount through every season and every aspect of life that we're going to go through. You can't substitute it for anything. And if we don't have it to begin with, we're going to struggle as we go into next season after next season. When trials come, when difficulties come, we're going to take the path of least resistance Because it's the easiest path rather than I believe in something. I'd like to start in Hebrews in the 11th chapter, in the first verse here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That substance means a foundation. It means something that is settled and established on. So my faith is a foundation of things hoped for. It's why when we make our decisions and our choices and we decide to live our life in a certain way, it's built on a foundation that I believe in this. I believe that God is who He says He is. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He was born and walked on this earth and gave Himself for a sacrifice. And if I have not come to that conclusion in my mind, if I have not accepted that, there's no further length of salvation and growth. It's a foundation that we must start with if we're going to have a relationship and a successful life living for God. So it is the foundation, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that things which seen were not made of things which do appear. I love how when the scripture talks about faith, we start with something that we can comprehend. We start with something that we can put our arms around and recognize, and it causes us to have to contend with something that we can't ignore. Creation is something that is the beginning of faith because I have to contend with, where did it come from? Where did I come from? Where did humanity come from? And you can't tell me I came from a monkey. It takes more faith to believe that than to believe that there is an intelligent creator that designed us for a purpose. Has to be. There's too many gaps for it to be otherwise. And all the intelligence of this world and man has rejected the faith in God, which we'll read in Romans and where that leads. But creation is the beginning of where our faith starts. Now I'm bragging. I held a little baby this week. Got to hold Keziah. Don't get mad at me. Anybody who hadn't seen her yet. I'm from far away. That baby is so small. And it's so beautiful. Just had his little arms up like this. And my heart was moved at God's creation. He made that. Innocent and perfect. And the only way that the world can embrace abortion today is to deny that God exists and that creation is something that came from Him. You can't have both. Watched all my children born, and when they come into this world, there's something that it does to you in your heart and in your spirit that this is not just happenstance. And I love the scripture that talks about He knew us in the inward parts, formed us and made us. If you have a problem with how you are this morning, you have a problem with God. Because He made you. Made you for a purpose, intelligently. Psalms in 19, we read, He talks about this creation. Lays a foundation of something that we can wrap our mind around and accept, and then begins to expound that we might understand the truth of what it means to follow God and what it does in our life, what it creates in our life. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, and them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. I love the sunsets in Oklahoma. It's beautiful, the wide open sky and the colors that you get. I love the mountains of home. I love the desert and its uniqueness and the stillness. I love the artistic feel that you get when you drive through the desert and see all those muted tones. And here's God has made all of it in His design creation. You can't look at it and deny that God exists. And if He exists, now I have to contend with who He is and what His expectation is. So the scripture starts in this place this morning. So if your faith is challenged, just look outside for a moment and know that God is real. And he uses that lie on every one of us. And I don't care how long we've seen the Lord demonstrate himself. The enemy comes along all of your life and whisper, it's not really real. Challenges our faith at the very foundation that we know is true. Logic, just common sense, just open your eyes. You can't deny it. Its existence screams at us. We had one time I heard a message, took a book and dropped it and it hit the ground. Law of physics. I even get inspired driving through the city of LA. All the buildings and all the bridges are all stacked on top of each other. Most of you country folk would say, that's ugly, I got no interest in that. I see God in that. You couldn't build those bridges without his laws. You couldn't hold them up. You couldn't build that great big building that sways in the air without God's law. He made it, and it's consistent time and time and time again. You can't change it. You can't make the rock any less soft. You can do things to it and modify it, but it's still the same essence of how God made it. So even in the city, when you can't see any grass and you can't see the sun because there's so much smog in the air, you can still see God exist. Take that elevator all the way to the top and stand up there and realize it's because of the laws of God that I can stand so far off earth and not fall to my death. We think men like to think it's their wisdom, but they haven't discovered anything that God didn't create to begin with. So this is the foundation of our faith. This is the beginning point. And from this, we begin to contend with who God is. And you tonight, if you're not saved tonight, I want you to know that God loves you and that his existence is so real. One scripture talks about that word is so nigh and close to you. His desire to implant that in your heart for you to respond to it. You can resist and you can kick against it, and it can be because of so many reasons. Mom and dad this, the church this, I saw that, does not change the existence of God and his love for you and that prick that he puts in your heart that says, I'm here and I want to be with you. Believe in me. Men will fail us. Men's organizations will fail us. But God is so consistent and faithful and steady. And just as sure as you see the moon rise and the sun rise and the moon go through its cycles and you can set your clock to it and it's the same time and time again, he'll do that in your life. Your earthly father, your earthly mother might not be like that. But it doesn't change who God is. And that inspiration in our heart draws us towards him. So he says here, he starts with that, and then in the seventh verse, he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It is well with my soul. I don't have to be the smart guy in the room. I just need to trust the Lord and to accept his law into my heart, to follow after him. I love that it's not many mighty, that it's not many noble. It was made for us. Bunch of rejects, bunch of broken people. Everyone is. The world has its caste system and it puts up those into, but all of us are in the same boat, broken and needing this truth. Amen. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Truth and righteousness, justice stands in God's hands. Doesn't stand in men's hands. Can't find justice on this earth. Men are crooked. My confidence doesn't rest in the Constitution this morning. It stands in the law of God. My faith this morning is not in the U.S. government. It's in the law of God. Our nation is not this nation. I'm sorry. Happy that I live here and I'm thankful for the blessings of where we live. But this is not our home. This is not the kingdom that we live in. This is not the law that we live by. You can't legislate righteousness. It has to come from the law of God that has been accepted by faith. Lord, I'll enter in. And it causes this work to be done in our life. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So what do you believe tonight? Do you believe that? Because it will change the way that you orchestrate your day if you believe that. It will change your appetite. It changes what we want to indulge ourselves in and what we're interested in if you really believe that. Better than fine gold. We'll get up in the morning and go for the good. If we can make the good money, I'll get up and go. What do you believe in? What is it that you have placed your trust in tonight? Romans in the first chapter. In the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm thankful tonight that when you put your faith in God, that you will never, ever, ever be ashamed of that faith. Do you know why faith is sometimes difficult? Because we don't want to take the risk. When you believe in something, you have to become vulnerable. You have to give yourself to something that you're not 100% sure. If it's a sure thing, there's no real faith involved. If I can see it with my eyes, then I'm not really, it doesn't really attest to faith. But this gospel of Christ, this way of life, this what God has intended, you'll never be ashamed. It will meet and exceed your wildest expectations time and time again. And in that, you begin that our faith grows and builds through our experiences with the Lord. We learn He's faithful. We learn that He's consistent. And when there are failures and problems, we always find that it was us that got ourselves in an area where the Lord had been trying to help us and we weren't listening like we should have. And we find that His justice, His love, His mercy, His chastisement doesn't make me ashamed. It makes me ashamed of me, but not of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This evening, you may have served the Lord for many, many years and endeavored to do what's right. But I want to tell you tonight that your experience, well, all the aspects of it have to be centered in faith. We can sometimes, as humans, begin to place our confidence in our formula or in my own just, this is the way we've always done things, and so this is a safe way to do things. I'll give you an example. Even in our church services, we have a skeleton, as I've heard it put, and I think it's a good way, and the Spirit adds a lot to that. But we can begin to put our faith in the process when our faith has to stand in God, because His leadership and the just live by faith, it's a constant growth and movement, and the Lord wants to change us from who we were to who He intends us to be. And if we stay in the constant, just this is the way I am, this is the way I've always been, I just do things this way, and this is where my confidence and my trust rest, you'll find yourself in the same place many years down the road with no growth, no movement, no change. We have to put our whole selves and our whole trust and follow after. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It takes that sacrifice. Faith takes sacrifice of myself. I have to get out of my comfort zone. I have to get out of just the way I've just always done things and begin to give myself to the Lord. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Holding the truth in unrighteousness, that scares me to death. To hold the truth but not righteously? Because our righteousness tonight comes from God. We have nothing of our own to offer. If our confidence and our trust is in our own selves, we'll find ourselves in a place where we're holding the truth, but it's in unrighteousness. Our faith and our confidence tonight rest in God. Amen. The work in our life is His work. The graces that He bestows on us are because of what He's done, and our faith in Him, our submission to Him. Amen. And in that example and that light that begins to shine is not our own, but His, living in us. These men began to hold something and they lifted themselves up. I've seen movements of people that have elevated people up to where the confidence is in the people and they're far from the truth of God. They preach from the same Bible. They give some of the same teachings and talk about some of the same things, but they've elevated to themselves to a place that people's trust are in them and not in God. It'll lead you into error every time. So as we endeavor to follow after God tonight, in all of our maturity, in all of our knowledge, it's the same as when we're a child and we're brought up in the truth and we have all this understanding. But there has to come a time when that understanding becomes planted in our heart and becomes a relationship with God and not just an intellectual decision. And then as we mature in the Lord and live for Him, this process has to continue. And the way that the Lord instructs us, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but the way that the Lord implants that is through the difficulties and the trials of our faith in this life. It's where He takes the things that are in our mind and that we've read in His Word, and He imprints them on our heart to where you could not pry it from my fingers. I'm convinced. He's shown Himself. It's been true time and time again. But it comes through the trial of our faith. Trusting God in the middle of when all logic and men's wisdom would say to do something different, but God has told me, and this is where my faith lies. I'd rather be thought a fool and have a relationship with God that I know is clear. Where He is inspired and led. He goes on here to talk about, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. 20th verse also goes back to the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Do you know that every single person that has come to the age of accountability, when they stand before God, we will have no excuse to hide behind. He has revealed Himself to each and every one of us. It's His promise. I can't say I didn't know. I didn't know you existed. I didn't know you had an expectation. It goes on here to talk about, we won't have to read all this, about their rejection of God and His deity and His position. When you see the darkness of the world today, and events happen like we see, where we see evil really raise its ugly head, it should actually encourage your faith in God. Because it is the truth of His Word born out. Humanity and the world have rejected the teachings and faith in God and set up their own organization and their own structure, and the end of it is that kind of evil that runs rampant. Emily goes to a public school. And out in the Northwest, we live in a place that's very difficult. And some of the things that she comes home and tells me about what kids are saying and what the teachers are teaching and what's being embraced and pressed on to children, it's a darkness. It's evil. It's to reject the very identity of God. This whole gender thing that exists is to reject who God is and how He made us. And what comes in place of that is the wickedness that we see in the world today. It causes this result We're not surprised. Our heart hurts and aches for what we see that man has become. And I can only imagine the heart of God and his creation in this state. And this is a compassion that we are to have also. We can't just, no, it hurts. But it's the result of a rejection of God by humankind. So in our own lives then, we have a calling and we have an understanding that we have to contend with and have to make. We have a decision to make through every aspect. I'd like to turn back to Hebrews in the 11th chapter. In the 6th verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. I want to tell each and every one of us tonight that there is a calling on your life. Amen. The Lord is calling you to take a journey. He's calling you, and we can think of Noah and Abraham and some of these heroes of faith as people that existed a long time ago, but the call has not changed tonight. He is still calling each and every one of us to a life of faith, where a lot of times we're on a journey and I don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure where I'm headed, not sure what tomorrow holds. What I know is the Lord has led us and guided us and given that instruction. And as we believe in it and take those steps, salvation starts with faith. Sanctification starts with faith. Every trial starts with this faith and trusting God that I will submit myself. I'll leave my places of comfort as Abraham did. I'll enter into the ark, which is the only safety we have, which is in Jesus to save us from this world of sin. You're going to have to make some decisions, and what you believe in is what's going to drive those choices. I would ask you, and may the Lord inspire us, what stands of faith have you made for God in your life? Because there better be some. There's got to be some action if you believe. I can't just live like I always did. There's got to be change and movement and development, because God is going to do something. He is a real and a living God. It's not like the idols that they talked about in Romans and made him like something that worshiped the creation more than the creator. He's not where the prophets of Baal cut themselves and danced all around and he didn't respond. This is a God with a living fire that will affect and change your life. Move you from where you were to where he wants you to be. And that journey is not easy, but it comes by faith. So I ask you, where are your stands of faith? View your convictions as stands of faith for God. If you believe, I'll give you some simple examples. You believe in modesty tonight? Do you believe in it just because the church teaches it, or because mom and dad said that's what we ought to do, or that's because that's what the generations have done? There's something more than that tonight. My convictions are a testament of faith to God, of his expectation of my life, and I want to please him. Amen. He's made a calling on us that's different than what the world has. And while it's good to obey when we don't understand, and when we're young in the Lord, I'm not telling you to throw all your convictions out. I'm telling you the Lord will call you to a life of faith where the things that you believe are committed to the Lord. Lord, this is for you. And that's just a simple one. There's our whole host of doctrines and standards that we teach and believe need to be unto God. It is by this journey. Abraham had no idea where he'd end up and the blessings that fell on his life. And I can't imagine the call from God coming to go and sacrifice Isaac. And I'll remind you again, as we do often, he rose up early in the morning. The Lord called and he woke up the next day and he went. You know, some of our danger tonight is that, and there is a time for waiting on the Lord. But we can also fall into an apathy of, well, I'm just waiting on God. Just waiting. Just sitting here day in, day out, just waiting. And again, don't get me wrong, there is a time when we wait on the Lord. But there's a lot of times that he comes along, calls us to a stand of faith, and we say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord to change things around here, make my path plain. You got to put your foot in the water. Lord, I trust you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you're telling me to. I'm going to rise up early and make this change in my life in faith. You'll do what you promised me. I want to read Matthew in the 16th chapter. I thought of sometimes we heard the stories about the old ministers that go to Monarch and they didn't have the money to go, but they packed their suitcase, go out on the porch, and then all of a sudden they're along, came away from to get here. Lord, help my faith. Because we want to line everything up. I want to arrange everything just perfectly. Lord, I think you want me to, so I'm just going to make everything. And God's saying, what have I got to do with it then? If you're going to figure it all out on your own, what am I for? And where do we grow? Where does our strength come from? Where does our victory come from? Amen. Until we find the Lord has met us in a place where we could not help ourselves, where we have cast ourselves at his mercy. Hallelujah. Lord, you called me and I'm trusting you and I'm walking out here on the porch and lo and behold, there's a station wagon that I'm going to get in that's going to take me to Monarch. Yes. This is for me too. Yes. We have too many resources. Because our resources are where our confidence rests. Yes. Our faith, what do you believe in tonight? Is it in your own ability to care for yourself? Help us, it's easy for us in our society, and I'm not knocking us tonight, I'm just telling you where the danger lies. Yes. You live in a place where you got to beg for bread and you can't have work, and I read some of the missionary stories. Their testament of faith is because every day their faith is tested. It's easy for us to go through life and not have our faith tested. Live a life of ease. And it's later in my message here, but I'll go ahead. Lord inspires it. He went to the church in Laodicea and he said, you think you're rich, you think you're dressed up, but you're naked and destitute. And I count you to buy me gold tried in the fire. And where does that gold come from? Where does that trying time come from? Except when the Lord comes and knocks and I say, Lord, it's not comfortable and I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but I'm going to trust you. And then through that sequence and through that experience in life, those are the things that I promise you when you reach your deathbed, they're going to be what you hold the highest and hold the closest. Lord was faithful to me here and here and here. And this is what I'm counting on to give me all the way to the other side. Changes our perspective. You're staring death in the face. It's hard not to think. You're not thinking anymore about our own resources, but Lord, I need you. And he has a life and a journey for us where he can show himself faithful and consistent time and time again to where that battle, yes, it's a battle, but it's just one more. Matthew in the 16th chapter, in the 21st verse. This was just after Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ. Jesus was, I think, a little surprised. Maybe nothing surprised Jesus. Blessed art thou. Something's been revealed unto you. Something precious. Something that will bring a change in the way that you live your life. Because if you're walking with Jesus and he's the Christ, that changes my whole perspective of who this man is. and to listen to every word that he says, to want to hang on every truth and every instruction. But 21st verse says, from the time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. He explained the whole story to them. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from me, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and he said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Lord, help me. That when he begins to lead us, and it doesn't fit with my picture of how I think everything just ought to be, we have our own preconceived notions of how we think things are just going to go this way. And again, I'm a child of God, so his blessing's going to rest on me. You're the Son of God. You're going to set up this kingdom and we're going to rule everybody. Get behind me, Satan. You esteem the things of men more than the things of God. Lord, help me to esteem the things of God in my life more than the things of men. So that when our trial of faith comes, my perspective is in order. It makes it easier to submit ourselves. Say, yay, Lord, we'll go with you through this. This is what God intends. But our humanity rises its head. Right. Oh, not so. Not this way. My way is better. And Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Oh, I want to tell you tonight that this world is empty. All that you could put your faith in is nothing. I don't know what you think about Johnny Cash. I don't think much of him. He could sing. And he lived a life where he was the king. Maybe it wasn't Elvis. But he sang a song at the end of his life where he said, it's all dirt. Yes. Came to a recognition that everything that he had heralded in life was nothing. This was a product of the world that recognized all that the world had was nothing. Right. We hear messages about forsake the world, love not the world. It really comes down to my faith that God is who he says he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I think about the lives that have been lived. Testaments of faith. There's a place here in Hebrews where it says the world was not worthy of them. And my heart burns with that. When I like to go out to the cemetery there, Uncle Chuck's there, Brother Bob's there, people that I had confidence in that I saw live a life of faith, always draws me back to those times. I'm not elevating men tonight, but I want to tell you the world is not worthy of a testimony of faith. It doesn't lift it up. It doesn't honor it. It doesn't count it as any value. But there is one. God returning in his glory with his angels reward every man according to his work. This is our fate tonight. This is what orchestrates our steps. This is what causes us to make the decisions that we do in our life, because there is a God with whom I have to deal. And when he returns, I want him to look at me and say, Kenny, well done. I love you. Enter in and enjoy all that I have for you. And the only way to get there is by trusting him with all that we have. Lord, I trust you. I believe you are who you say you are. Old Thomas. Thomas wouldn't believe till he could put his hand in the side of Jesus. Thomas didn't have an experience of faith after that moment. Maybe he did later. Sight is not faith. He said, Thomas, if that's what it takes, put your hand in, put your finger in so that you can believe. But blessed are those that have not seen yet believe, and that's you and I tonight. You ever wonder why God doesn't just demonstrate himself in some great majestic manner? Here we are tonight, we're all gathered together. Why doesn't he just come down and be in a glistering robe like they saw with Jesus? You know what their reaction was? Let's build temples in this place. God honors faith. He has inspired your heart, I am sure, for you to trust him. I know he has. He's done it to all of us. The quiet ones, the loud ones, the good ones, the bad ones. Ones with good reputations, one with bad reputation. He's inspired each and every one of us. Believe on me. Yes. And he honors that. That's what he's after. Choose me. Choose me in spite of all that you see. Give me your life. Back in Hebrews again. We won't take time to read it. I like he talks about Gideon and Barak and Samson all the way down here. Talks about they weren't worthy. Old Gideon numbered his men. He was going to fight with a big old army. He was going to win the battle through sheer force. God had another plan. You ever face difficulties in life and you were going to overcome them by all your resources? All the things you could gather together? God's like, can't use that, can't use that, can't use that, can't use that. What do you got left? All Gideon had was 300 men left. Why? God will not share his glory with another. He wants the glory of what he does in our life. And any of us, and trials of faith are sometimes afflictions. Sometimes they're battles against our flesh. Sometimes we're oppressed by a thorn in the flesh and a messenger of Satan to buffet us. Many different areas that we fight our battles of faith. But any of us, when we've gone through those times, when we reach the end of them, I've never heard anybody say, well, I sure did a good job. Well, I really took care of that one. What do we say? We fall on our knees. Holy. It's the Lord. He delivered me. He honored his promises to me. And that testimony resonates in each and every one of our hearts and inspires us in our own test of faith. I don't know why the Lord gives different journeys to different people. Some people are born with tough afflictions that they battle all their life and they die young. But there's a beauty of their life. This world has no idea what God has created in his creation. That's what it is. He has created something beautiful inside of his own creation because of a simple faith. And we're talking about the high points now, but you know it's in those dark, hard nights when you feel like you're hanging by a thread. You know it's in those moments where the enemy's pressing in and it feels dark. You know, it's in those times when the logic is telling you this and this and this and pointing all the doubts of the future. And you got to press through. Amen. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. And he works that beautiful work. Heaven, I think, will be about all of us celebrating and glorifying the God who has honored the faith that has been placed in him in our lives. It'll take all of eternity for all of people to express their gratitude and love for a God that was faithful through generations, through seasons, through times. This 12th chapter in the first verse is, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with such great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race. Our race. All of our races are not the same. And the burdens and the things that would slow you down and the things that would afflict you may not be the same things that afflict me. But there's nothing new under the sun. Your battle, I promise you, there is someone in that cloud of witnesses that says, I've been there and God was faithful to me. You can do it. You can give it to him. You can cast your lot at his feet. He's put a call on your life and you're afraid of what all that's going to mean, what the future's going to hold, what am I going to have to do? There's a cloud of witnesses that says, yeah, we've been there. I can commiserate with you. I know what emotions you're feeling. But I can also tell you that God is faithful and you'll never live a better life than to respond and honor that call. Amen. Give him what you have. He'll take the little. Don't worry about how much little it is. He made that to begin with too. He'll expand it. He'll make it great in his sight. And if you start to think too much of yourself, like Uncle Chuck said, the Lord will humble you. You'll come to a place where you'll find yourself recognizing, yep, okay, it's the Lord. The second verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, this morning, this evening, there is a joy that is set before us. There is a joy that we can experience in this life. There's an even greater joy to be enjoyed for all of eternity. And our closest trials, and our gardens of Gethsemane, and our places of dedication to the Lord, when he comes in and he brings that his presence and begins to minister to those places, there's a joy that you cannot find anywhere in this world but in the presence of God in those places. And those are the moments that we really long for. In one place he said, think it not strange. And what that scripture is talking about, it's talking about hosting a stranger, like having a stranger in your home. The reality is that our journey with God, it's like having tribulation live in your home. But it's no different in the world. Don't get me wrong. Don't think that when you trust God and you serve him and you follow after him, that now you're signing up for the hard life. We didn't read all of Romans 1. Take time to go read it. You'll find what the rest of the world looks like outside of a life lived for God. It's empty and broken. I stood in a crowd of people a few weeks ago, all celebrating a moment. Everyone's cheering, everyone's yelling. And I looked around and it just felt so empty. Just nothing. What is this even? What this accomplishment? Who cares? Can be gone tomorrow. Someone else will do something a little bit faster, a little bit better. Everybody will stand up and cheer that. And the world lifts that one after another. The joy that we find in the presence of the Lord in the midst of our trials is something. It's better than 50,000 people standing up and screaming in a stadium over something they saw happen. Oh, the joy. Jesus doesn't talk about it in the garden, but I have to believe that in that moment, when he made his closest consecration, he could see the joy of our life out ahead. That his love drew him through that, carried him through that. We've seen the songs, nails didn't hold him on the cross. There was an anticipation of the joy of salvation that would reside in your heart and in my heart. And the only way that we are going to experience that is when you begin to trust God with your life. Your relationship with God is going to start that way. Your sanctification and daily sacrifice of your life, a living sacrifice, laying yourself before the Lord day in and day out. Fill me with your spirit. Lord, I'm all yours. Day by day, giving yourself to him. There is a joy that resides. Always still have emotions. I'm an Eeyore. I'm down all the time. I don't smile a lot. You guys don't think that's true because when I'm around people, I smile at you. But in reality, inside, I'm not smiling. All right, that's too probably personal. I'm not comfortable around people. Just want you to know that the joy of the Lord is the very essence of where our spirit rests and where we find the greatest joys in this life. I don't know what race you've got to run. Some people lose their children. Some people lose their parents. Some people lose their spouses. Some people are born with great personal difficulties that they have to fight all their life. It's God's decision. It's God's choice. But our place is to put our trust in Him. I encourage you tonight to run your race, to give your heart to the Lord. If there's some area in your life that you've held and you know the Lord is, hey, give it to Him. Trust Him. Yield it to Him. You'll find the joy of the Lord in those places that, again, we reach the end of our days. What you're going to count as most valuable. You ever met someone who lived with nothing but regret? They get a little older in years and they just talk about all their regrets. Hurts my heart. Hurts my stomach, especially if I love them. All their disappointments in life. And then I think of that sweet spirit of someone that has yielded themselves to the Lord. I got no regrets. None at all. It's been the very best life. I ask that you pray for me.